everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
National panel, good afternoon. I'd like to introduce you to Salisbury outfielder Justin Meekins. Justin, national panel, national panel.
Justin.
He's one of the best hitters in the country. He's a man of differing tastes and of many looks.
Like that.
And of a monocle. Hello!
Wow. All right, Justin.
That was
I have
over
the Justin.
Famous monocle wearer.
Big NFL news. Any of you know who loves big NFL news right about now? Rob Manfred. He loves big NFL news. Mina Kimes.
There you go.
One more playoff team for each conference. Only one team gets a bye. That would be effective immediately once the CBA signs off. And 17-game regular season, 3-game preseason, also in play. That wouldn't be starting until maybe the year after the upcoming season should players sign off. Maybe we'll get to how fans like this or love it or want some more of it in a sec. First, Mina Kimes, whether you think the players and whether you think the league is going to love this and whether they're trying to sneak in these 17 games under the cover of, well, we've got more playoff teams, which everybody loves.
Yeah, we'll get to Manfred, too, later. Doesn't get an episode off today. There are a couple facets to this story, Tony. There's the expanded playoff field, which I think is unquestionably good for players. Financially, they're going to make a ton of money off of it. I don't think there's a lot of red flags or issues there. The 17th game is more complicated. I have yet to see a definitive answer, definitive research as it pertains to the long-term effects on player health. Now, I think we understand playing more football is not going to be good for player health, but there's still a question of how bad is it going to be.
Okay.
There's also a question of how much money are they going to make off of this. Yesterday, our Adam Schefter reported that if their share of revenue does go up to 48.5%, they could get as much as $5 billion, talking about the players, over the course of the deal. That is a lot of money, and a lot of players are very interested in getting that amount of money. My hope is, because of the health concerns, they get that money and also some help with health care benefits as well.
There's no doubt there's money to be made here. Let me ask you this real quick, Mina Kimes, talking to players every single day like you do. Does anybody want the 17th game? Has anybody told you, yeah, I'm game, let's play?
They all say no until they hear the money.
Okay.
To answer your question.
Well,
it really is complicated.
Jackie McMahon, can I bring you in here?
Sure.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful.
Happy to be here with you, Tony. Thanks. Let me join in.
I'm going to sense that you don't like the 17 games because you've told me this before on this very show, so please go ahead.
Yes, and I will tell you again, and everyone that's listening, that it's a bad idea. And you're talking about health concerns, Mina. We don't need to see data to know this is a bad idea if you're talking about health concerns. This is the most dangerous professional league in sports. Nothing has changed from that. We have all sorts of data that tells us about the long-term problems of being an NFL football player. Hopefully they're taking the correct steps to help alleviate some of those issues, Tony. But this is the problem with the NFL. We know they have short careers. All these players think in the short term. I understand that. They want the money now. Their career is, I think, under 3 years average. We need to save these players from themselves. If I'm in the Players Association and I work for the NFL Players Association, I'm pulling out all that CTE data again, every day, all day, until players understand the dangers of this game. And adding one more game is going in the wrong direction. They should be reducing the game.
Devin Blackstone, when you hear the league wants to increase playoff teams, but then increase the length of the regular season, you think what?
I think that, first of all, 17 games is a gateway drug to 18 games, which is what the owners have always wanted, and Jackie's absolutely right. Not only is this a health concern, but this is a way for the league to save money. The NFLPA knows that more games will reduce the number of players who will be able to get a pension from the league. So the league gets to save money by running up those clocks on those bodies much faster. And I don't know that anybody has been clamoring for more playoff games. I mean, the reason the league wants it is so they can get more money, obviously, from the TV deal that they have, right? And not only that, but they just delivered this at the start of last season, a check to the franchises for $8.7 billion. That's a 33% increase over what it was just five years ago. So I don't know that the $5 billion more that the players could get in this CBA that's being floated out there is a 33% increase over what they had maybe 5 years ago. Somebody really needs to look at that. So I'm not really feeling any of this.
So you're not
right
feeling
now.
The expanded playoff scenario. Okay. No. How about you, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, it's a compliment sandwich, isn't it? You've got more playoff games. Yes, please. I think outside of Kevin Blackstone, I think 99.9% of fans will say, okay, I'll take that extra game. It's two teams playing an extra game over the course of the season. Not that damning. And hey, less preseason games. Yes, please. We don't need all that stuff. Oh, let's just throw an extra regular season game in there. Does it help decipher who's going to be the best seven teams? Is it really that much more of a sample size? Have we been saying, hey, after 16 teams, we don't really know who the top six teams are? I think it's just obviously a money grab in that situation. So if you're talking about looking at that money, it's exactly what Jackie was saying, the long term versus the short term. Is that one extra game and potentially another extra game if you happen to be that second, that seventh playoff team or the number two seed who would normally get a bye, now you're playing in that first weekend. If you are that player, is it worth those extra two games for you? Is it worth the extra game over the course of time just for that money dangling over there? It's not all going to you. That's got to be spread out about everybody else. It's not $5 billion for one person. So I would definitely think
as big picture as possible, Mina Kimes, is more good for football?
I think it's mixed here. The expanded playoff field, I agree with Izzy, people will eat that up. And I don't think it'll dilute the quality of play, actually. If you look at the 13th seed over the last few years that would be in the playoffs now, they're usually better than several of the teams that make it in. The bad teams are usually the bad division winners, right? The 7-9 teams. I don't think the 17th game helps football because it increases the likelihood that you're going to see stars, quarterbacks, pass rushers getting injured before the postseason.
Jackie, last word.
Yeah, and let's not confuse with dropping a preseason game with adding a regular season game. Because the preseason games, the reason everybody hates them is because all the star players often don't even play in them. And especially when you get further along in the preseason. So to me, to compare those two games and say it's even, no, I'm calling
Kevin, one last thing. You're talking about how it's kind of like a shell game and they're moving around pieces and extending the clock on players. Could it be rosters expand as well? And wouldn't that mean more jobs for the union?
Well, if they're going to expand rosters, but you know the other thing you could do, right, is talk about the threshold for getting vested and maybe moving that down so that when these careers get shorter, guys still get to cash in for health care and everything else for much longer into their lives.
Like that idea.
I'd imagine all that could be negotiated, but I do like the way you're thinking there, Blackstone. We'll move on. All right, NBA second half. Times, right? It was a tale of two halves. Here are the standings. Jackie, which team should feel the most urgency to turn things around in the second half? And which team is most capable of doing it?
Well, I think the answer could be to both questions, the Philadelphia 76ers. It's clear to me they're the ones that have to make a move here, Tony. They're fifth in the East, okay? And they're 9-19 on the road. What happens if you're fifth in the East? You don't host a playoff series. So that's just common sense. By the way, their road record is the same as your New York Knicks. Chew on that for a minute.
All right.
Same record as the Sixers.
So
on the
Sixers need to turn this around right now to get to that front half of the home court advantage. Although it's just one more game in a series. How much is home court advantage? Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
No, Jackie's absolutely correct, and it's not only because of those reasons, it's also because This is a cloud that's hanging over the coach's head. We've been talking about whether or not he's the guy for this job. This is a cloud that's hanging over the best two players on that team, Simmons and Embiid, and whether or not they can coexist and move this team along. This is a cloud that's hanging over Embiid's head that people are talking about because of the tweets that he sent out, and Jimmy Butler suggesting that he may be getting out of Philly or may want to leave Philly. So there's a whole lot going on in Philadelphia right now that behooves them to get this right.
I love when behooving happens. That's absolutely true. How about you, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, I love a good behooving, too. But I do believe that, yes, I think in terms of the most disappointing team during this first half has been the Philadelphia 76ers. But you could argue that their record, even though the home road splits are mystifying, that their disappointing record has just as much to do with Joel Embiid missing time and a lack of continuity on their roster. If they were to stay healthy for the remaining portion of this regular season schedule, I think you'll see that balance out some more. I'm very much intrigued by the Houston Rockets on the other side trying to create some urgency for themselves when they've sort of turned their game plan a little bit, excluding Clint Capella, trading him away, going extreme small ball. And if you look at the numbers just in February for Russell Westbrook and James Harden, those two have been spectacular. So I don't know if they have the same urgency because they can sort of run it back after this year, whereas the Sixers are looking at some pressure on the coaching staff. But I do think this second half could possibly be pretty spectacular.
Mina Kimes, your vote for team with urgency who could turn it around?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a clean sweep and pick the Sixers as well. And I think they can do it, Tony. They have done some interesting things. Moving Al Horford to the bench right before the break, I think, was a really good move. This is a team that's been obviously much better on defense than offense this season. However, when Simmons and Embiid have been on the floor without Horford, they've actually had an offensive rate net rating of 117 points per 100 possessions. Now, I want to see that over a larger sample size. I want to see if it sticks, because if it does, I think this team could be a threat down the stretch.
Teams that we know are threats, they're at the top of the standings, the Bucks and the Lakers. How much trust do you have they'll finish it at the top of the standings? How much trust do you have in Milwaukee and the Los Angeles Lakers, Jackie?
Well, I'm so bullish on the Bucks, and I don't understand why others aren't. And I think what you hear from GMs is, well, if the game slows down and it's a close game in the final 2 minutes, can they win it in the half court? I think the answer is yes, because I think people overlook how good Chris Middleton is in those situations. The Bucks are on a historic pace right now. And you realize, you want to talk about being healthy and ready for the playoffs? They don't have a player in minutes played in the top 75 of the
league.
That's amazing.
Point.
I mean, Giannis only plays 31 minutes, and I think Chris Middleton averages under 29 minutes. So that's something that the other teams
Israel, you want to add to that?
Discuss.
Yeah, just look at the last two games. They've only lost, the Bucks have, two games since Christmas with Giannis on the floor. The Spurs and the Nuggets, they shot 19 threes and 22 threes respectively and kept Giannis under, I think it was 40% shooting. Try to do that over the course of a seven-game series. It's going to be really difficult. You're going to have to shoot the lights out to be that team. I know the Sixers can't do it. Maybe the Heat, maybe the Celtics, but the Sixers don't have that shooting.
Only thing I'll add is that next Tuesday, you might be talking about something different, or next Wednesday, after the Raptors host the Bucks and see if they can pull out a win there. And all of a sudden, we'll be talking about, wait a second, do they have the formula to beat the Bucks? You know how we like to run that.
You like to run this show. The question we would have asked last year, nobody would have answered, do you trust the Raptors to win it all? And they won it all last year. That's why it's a tale of two heads. How many of us at home with our Kimes Times or whatever else you... I had a Fisher Price microphone. It was always, it's a tale of two halves. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Competing teams in the ACC have a thing about Coach K and the handshake line after a loss. So we'll show it to you right here. But that's not what we're talking about. NC State 88, Duke 66. It's not March, but it's almost March, Mina. How concerning a loss is this for Duke?
Deeply concerning. I think especially because a lot of the things Duke seemed to have fixed over the last month cropped up again. The problems, the bad free throw shooting. They went 10 for 22. Bad outside shooting, turnovers, missed layups. They're still a good team, but Tony, all it takes is one bad game in March, and they're not a consistent team.
Gutierrez.
Yeah, I mean, Coach K doesn't lose to unranked teams like this, but if you sort of project into what their tournament bracket's going to be like, I mean, I saw a tweet that said, okay, maybe this has them down as a number two seed at MSG against San Diego State, who has to fly all the way across the country. It really is just a matter of where they're bracketed, not so much about what this regular season
is. I saw that. That was Mark Titus with the tweet. And that's the perception that Duke gets a bonus from the selection committee. But this is now a four-loss team, KB. How do you view that?
Well, I think Nina's right. I mean, this is not a very good Duke team, but I think you have to look on the other side of the court here because NC State had just lost at Boston College. They were on a bubble. They're playing at home. They had to get a win, and they managed somehow to do it against Duke. 22 points, that's an eye-opener, but I'm not surprised that NC State won that
and
game.
Jackie McMullen?
You know what? Duke shot 18% from the three-point line. That's the thing about basketball today. If you shoot poorly from the three-point line, guess what? You can lose in the NBA and in college. That's just how this rolls. As for Duke, they're a very young team. Tony, this might be a good thing. Because now Coach K can look them all in the eye and say, what happens when you take things for granted? I believe that with freshmen. Yes. Three freshmen, I believe.
All right. That was good. You know, I try to do that all the time when you lose showdown, Jackie, and it doesn't seem to, you never seem to take that as a good thing. You always seem to think it as a bad thing. We'll move on.
I'm old.
Buy or sell to Astros outfielder Josh Reddick. Quote, at some point you have to move on and not give a bleep. We're going to go out there and win and shut everybody up. And then Lance McCullers, pitcher. Quote, the team's talking trash. You're going to have to play us. Except for the guys who are popping off the most, end quote. I think he's talking about the Dodgers there. Israel, what do you buy? What do you sell?
I mean, I'm selling this. It's just a distraction, just trying to move along the conversation here. If they do go out and win a bunch of games, maybe even win a World Series this year, everybody's going to say, hey, you still cheated in 2017, possibly beyond that.
So you don't think they can take anything away from going out there and winning it all this year or playing well?
I think they can, but don't talk about it now. Wait until after you possibly do something.
Did Lance McCullers say trash or trash cans? I'm not sure. But look, they're saying what they've got to say. I mean, this is not going to get any easier as spring training rolls along, as a season opens. That's all that they can do is go out and try and prove everyone wrong. I don't know if they'll be able to do it, but that's what they got to try.
So I disagree with you. I don't think they're saying what they have to say. If I were them, I would just say, look, we've apologized, we're moving on. You don't have to start talking back and saying, yeah, and wait till we see you guys, except for the guys that didn't play. Just be quiet and win. We're tired of hearing about you guys.
I'm not tired of hearing about it. I'm buying it. They're going full WWE villain. And by the way, here's why they're doing it, Tony, because they're good. Most projections have them as the second best team in the American League behind the Yankees. That's why they feel confident in saying this.
Well, those projections have been created in some ways by their record the last couple of years, and that record has been thrown into question about the last couple of years. Here's yet another idea for punishment that has not been put forward by Major League Baseball, but a suggestion. This is Buster only. You know Buster. He wrote this up today. Even gave Rob Manfred an entire script to say. I've had more time to process. I've heard from fans and players. More action is warranted. For cheating, yada, yada, yada. I hereby censure the Astros. A designation to be forever noted in baseball's official record book. Kevin, you're shaking your head. No, you don't buy the idea of public censure here?
What is a censure? We have people talking about taking reprisals out during the game, and you're talking about a censure? That doesn't fly at all. Stop.
Jackie, nothing censured, nothing gained? Well, how do you feel about this?
Oh, very clever. I wish I thought of that. That would get me some points. You know what? I'm not going to poo-poo this as much as Kevin because, as you know, I've been conflicted all along about whether they should take away the title and that piece of metal that they were handed last year. So I'm going to give Buster a thumbs up here. Thumbs up. I like
the idea, a censure or, if you will, an asterisk on the season.
Yeah, I both think it's not enough, but I don't know what else they could have done. I surely wish they could have punished the players, but increasingly, it seems to me, legally, it would not have been possible. Manfred was in a really difficult place. So, sure, start with the censure.
Gutierrez.
I mean, essentially, all this does is tell people, you know, decades down the road, hey, this is how serious this was, and this is the level at which we're going to take it. But what it does currently, what it does for the future, what it does for the Astros players now, I don't think it does much. Or would do much.
Well, Israel, Kevin Blackstone, I want to say, incredible job on today's program. But just not good enough. You're going to be witnessing a showdown here between Mina Kimes and Jackie McMullen to enter
but only one will leave.
Bye, fellas.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Mina Kimes, Jackie McMullen, good luck in showdown. The Chicago Cubs contemplating batting Chris Bryant leadoff. Manager David Ross basically saying you put your best hitter first. You concur, Mina Kimes?
I concur with the decision, right? The Cubs were the worst team in baseball at leadoff last year, and I think they've struggled with it since Dexter Fowler left. Chris Bryant's a smart hitter. He's not a big RBI guy anymore. It makes sense.
Totally makes sense, because not only that, he's a good runner. And if they do what they're talking about and putting Anthony Rizzo second, that's Bryant Rizzo off the top. The best thing about this is David Ross talked about it so much, like he made it feel like they were part of it. Great new thing for a new manager.
Hey,
I like
so
it.
You guys both agree. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Showdown two, better play. Virginia Tech's Tyrese Radford. Look at this. Behind the backboard, over the backboard shot. That went in from behind the backboard. Or Seton Hall's Sandro Mamukushvili, buzzer beater, that beat the buzzer and beat Butler. Jackie?
So, of course, the first play is more difficult, but you and I are sentimentalists. That play at the buzzer was the first time his father, who came all the way from Georgia, not the state, Georgia, to see his son make that shot. Are you kidding me? What's better than that? Nothing.
Well, I think the other play has sentimental value as well, because Tyrese Radford, who was a totally unrecruited prospect, has been balling. He's a team leader in rebounds, averaging double-digit points per game. He's been great, and it was an awesome.
This is an incredible. I mean, wow, what a wealth of information on Radford, and where in the world is Jackie McMullen and Carmen Sandiego and the Mamu family. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Showdown three, the headshot progression of Salisbury's Justin Meekins. We showed it to you earlier. This is freshman year to senior year. Grade it, and what's Justin's best year, Mina?
I mean, come on, Tony. This is a no-brainer. It's the monocle. And I choose to believe he's paying homage to Mr. Peanut with that.
No. I'd rather, instead of being Mr. Peanut, be junior year. Be Raleigh Fingers. I just love this guy's sense of humor off the top. Not Mr. Peanut, Raleigh
Off the Fingers. Top, Jackie, you want to tell us what you said when you sat down and you saw his photo? You think he's joking around with the monocle? That's what you said. You think he's joking around with the monocle? Mina Kimes, take the FaceTime.
Oh, wow. First win in a while. So a new clip from Cowboys legend Emmitt Smith on the Lefko show has been circulating, in which he suggests that quarterback Dak Prescott should take a discount to play for the team. Take a discounted contract. Now, this is ridiculous for a couple reasons. One, Dak Prescott's been the biggest bargain in football over the last 4 years. And also, Emmitt Smith is the holdout god. Okay, for him, of all people, another player take a discount.
That's awesome.
That's right. All right. Hey, Jackie, did you feel good after getting a loss? Was this one of these motivating losses?
I think you should give me clemency, Tony. I didn't sell my...